Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here with my beautiful and gracious and good-hearted wife, woman, and companion. Her name is Robin. Hi, baby.
Hi.
You sound good. Yeah.
I'm on the weather app, man.
You're on the weather app. You're all over the weather app. How many weather apps do you have on your phone?
About 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Yeah. You are a weather file person. You love the weather, but you love snow more than you love the weather, because you don't care if it rains, you don't care if the sun's shining, you don't care if it's high winds, low pressure, high pressure. All you want to know is when's the snow coming and how much we're getting.
All right, and Easton just got downgraded to 4.
From 4 inches of snow tomorrow?
3 to 6. But it depends on which one you look at.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Can you turn me up a little bit?
Turn you up a little bit?
Uh-huh.
Okay. There you go. You got
how about now, Chris?
Sweet.
Sweet.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin.
They need to stop downgrading us. Stop this.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like, which model are you looking at? Are you looking
at all of them.
She has 7 or 8 of them on her phone.
And then on Facebook, my main guy, he has every model on there. And the Canadian model or the European model always has us about 4 inches more than we get. And I always sit there and go, please come on, Canadians.
Yeah, I was about to say, because up on this side of the pond, they generally use the European model, and it's pretty much kind of spot on, as well as you can expect under the circumstances. I mean, trying to predict something that is unpredictable.
Right.
Yeah, I got my faith in Flake Sky, and he's my guy, and that's who I go with. So.
There you go. So anyway, this is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. You two can talk about the weather.
Well, it's outdoors related.
That's right. It's the most outdoorsy thing I've talked about in a while.
Yes, that's true. We can sit and talk about the weather. And we talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors. And we talk about it with you folks out there in radio listener land. And the way we do that is you simply give us a call here at the station. We don't call you because we don't know your number. But you know ours, which is WCBM 680 922 6680, 410 922 6680. And that's how you get in touch with us. So here we are on Youth Waterfowl Day, final waterfowl day of the season. There's some veterans involved in that today, too. So if you're headed out for waterfowl this morning, we'd love to hear from you. It's cold out there, but not as cold as it has been. Our number is 410-922-6680. We want to hear from the kids going waterfowl hunting today. We want to hear from the vets, and we want to hear from anybody who's helping set the decoys or, you know, spot the birds or call, whatever that might be. We would be glad to talk to you and find out a little bit about your last adventure of the year here. 410-922-6680. A lot of stuff going on within the Department of Natural Resources as far as fisheries is concerned, and in particular, of particular concern to me and should be to you if you're a deer hunter, is House Bill 594. Now, when the Farm Bill gets behind a deer, the Farm Bureau gets behind a deer bill, you know that that's not looking good. So here's what 594 will do in a thumbnail. You remember the venison donation program where hunters were paid $50 if the deer was donated to a food bank in Anne Arundel County?
Yes.
Let's expand that statewide.
No.
That's what the bill says. The bill establishes that the prohibition against selling, offering for sale, bartering, or exchanging deer taken from the wild does not apply to venison from a lawfully harvested white-tailed deer that is donated to a venison donation program administered by the county in which the deer was harvested for processing and distribution to a food bank. Goodbye, farmers and hunters feeding the hungry. Your program has just been wiped out if this bill passes. Deer cause an average of $50 per acre of crop damage to Maryland crops. I don't know where they get that figure. You know, this is from the Farm Bureau newsletter. $50 per acre of crop damage to Maryland crops. I'd like to see that really proven. I'd like you to show me how you arrived at that number. So on a 300-acre farm, if 200 acres are planted, that would be $10,000 in damage to a soybean farm. Maybe. Cornfield, maybe, but I seriously doubt that's a number. Who came up with the number? That's my question. The farmer receives no repayment for this economic loss. Really? The most heavily subsidized group in Maryland, and you can find that Maryland pays out about, I think, $27 to $30 million a year in crop damage crop damage reimbursement for insurance. And I know this because we've been involved in this fight before. But has to foot the cost to have the deer processed and is required to either keep the meat to donate to a food bank. Well, it's not quite what they do with deer that are shot on deer management permits. But we won't get into that. This bill does two things. It allows a farmer or hunter the ability to recoup the cost. This is so poorly written. Recoup. Let me read this paragraph, Chris, and see if you can find any errors. Okay?
Okay.
This is from the newsletter of the Maryland Farm Bureau. Deer cause an average of $50/acre of crop damage to Maryland crops. The farmer receives no repayment for this economic loss. A farmer is allowed to harvest deer under a deer management permit, but has to foot the cost to have the deer processed and is required to either keep the meat to donate it to a food bank. This bill does two things. It allows a farmer or hunter that ability to recoup, R-E-C-O-O-P, the cost of harvesting and processing a deer that they donate to a food bank. Okay. The key word there is that they donate. The key word is if they donate it to a food bank. Secondly, it helps provide a high-quality, lean protein source for food banks around the state. I will tell you what will happen to this. I will tell you exactly what will happen to this if this bill passes and they legalize the commercial sale of venison. It's not going to the food bank. Okay? It's not. The farmers will organize. They will get a group in their county or their region. They will put together a processing plant. They will take as much of the venison to the processing plant as possible, and they will sell the remains to some pet food company somewhere. And the hungry people in Maryland will not benefit from this program once you open that floodgate. I've said it when the commercial sale of venison came up in the General Assembly. It was part of my testimony, and I'll say it again today. The farmers want all the deer dead. And if the hunters think that they're going to get paid for killing deer, there's going to be those people with a, shall we say, borderline code of ethics that will go out and kill deer for money. Your comments on that? There are several bills in the General Assembly today. HB 225, Senate Bill 605 in Queen Anne's County, HB 802 and Senate Bill 356 in Calvert, House Bill 840 and Senate Bill 634 in Somerset, House Bill 856, Senate Bill 633 in Worcester would allow Sunday hunting of all game animals and game birds. Okay, these are not bad. There's a bill in Prince George, there's a bill in Talbot, expand hunting. The people who are opposed to it, Maryland Horse Council. They're in league with the Farm Bureau. They want all the deer killed, but they just don't want you to do it on Sunday. 410-922-6680. Let's look at some of the stuff in discussion on fisheries. And these things go on all the time. Scoping of fisheries management regulations. And you can find that on the changes to regulations on the DNR fisheries page. So what they're considering is to prohibit the use of certain species as bait fish. The department is considering prohibiting the use of select sport fish species, largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, walleye, muskellunge, and all species of trout as bait, live or cut. The prohibition would be for all waters in Maryland. Why is this change necessary? Large, piscivorous, invasive flathead catfish has become established in the non-tidal waters of the Potomac River. Non-tidal. Upper portion of the Potomac. Blue catfish. I'm sorry, flathead catfish. Because of their large size and fighting ability, flathead catfish have become popular with catfishing tournament community. The largest specimens are typically caught using large fish as bait. Some anglers have begun using largemouth and smallmouth bass as bait. Current regulations allow the use of largemouth and smallmouth bass and all other sport fish as bait as long as they're caught using legal gear and within the size and creel limits established for that species. Maryland spends considerable resources to protect and enhance largemouth and smallmouth bass, walleye, muskellunge, and trout populations, as well as control invasive species such as flathead catfish. Angler preference surveys conducted in 2004 and 2015 both document the non-tidal Potomac River as the most popular freshwater fishing destination, and black bass as the most sought-after sport fish. 14% of all non-tidal fishing trips were to the Potomac. That's 239,000 trips, with 63% of those trips specifically targeting largemouth and smallmouth bass, with an estimated economic impact of $23 million statewide. 41% of all freshwater fishing trips targeted largemouth and smallmouth bass, with an estimated economic impact of nearly $150 million. Okay, so you've got your money fish, largemouth and smallmouth bass, most sought-after fish by anglers in Maryland, being used by cat fishermen, catching them legally, and then turning around putting them on the hook to catch flathead catfish. There's other ways to go, guys. The smallmouth bass stocking program was initiated in 2019, just 2 years ago, to supplement a natural reproduction for offset poor recruitment due to flooding. In 2020, the department produced more than 35,000 fingerling smallmouth bass for the non-tidal Potomac River at a considerable cost to address declining catch rates and angler complaints. Allowing intensively managed sport fish species to be used as bait is counter to the department's goals and objectives for enhancing recreational fisheries and create conflicts among our angler groups. Who would this affect? This would affect recreational anglers to use these species as bait. It may affect bait suppliers if an angler needs to switch to a different type of bait. When will this be effective? The department would like this change to be effective in 2021. The date cannot be determined. The department will follow the normal scoping and proposals, procedures, and so forth. So there you go. You want your largemouth and smallmouth bass to be used as bait? I don't particularly want that to happen. Chris, any callers on the line?
No, sir. We have empty lines right now.
Wow. 410-922-6680. So, the flathead cat fishermen want to use bass that are stocked by the Department of Natural Resources using your tax dollars for bait to catch flatheads that are invasive. Oh, there's more. Fishing in non-tidal waters, cut bait. Non-tidal, that's fresh water. What's being considered? The department is considering allowing the possession and use of cut bait in non-tidal waters statewide with the following restrictions. Only fish with no minimum size restrictions can be used as cut bait, and the angler may possess more than 2 pounds of cut bait at any time. So, if you got, oh, I don't know, some mud shad for bait, for catfish, you're only allowed to have 2 pounds. That'd be two fish. Why is this necessary? Invasive catfish again. And we'll go on and on if you'd like me to on the bait restrictions. But you can find it for yourself on the Fisheries Regulations Change page under the Department of Natural Resources on the fishing page. Any of this alarming to anybody?
It is for me, and I don't fish.
And you don't fish?
And I don't fish, but it's alarming. It seems like what used to be wrong is now considered right. It's like, what's the state turning into?
Everything's flipped on its head, isn't it?
That is an understatement.
Everything is flipped on its head. The deer bill bothers me a lot.
Oh, yeah, because, honestly, I don't think the money's... I think a lot of that stuff is going to end up in some local restaurants.
Well, I don't know about that. It could very well do
it
that.
It could. Because, I mean, they could sell quite... they could get a fair amount of money per pound.
I think worse, Chris. I think worse of it. I think that is a step down a slippery, very, very slippery slope. I really do, for the reasons I stated earlier. And I'd have to look. I'd have to find my testimony on that. But that's exactly what I said in my testimony, that farmers will form co-ops to do nothing but whitetail and processed deer, and not for the food market, not for the food bank. Look, my understanding on the Anne Arundel program, and I can't say this for a fact, but this is on pretty reliable resources out there. The deer processors were paid up front, tens of thousands of dollars, okay, paid up front to distribute that money to the hunters when the hunters brought in a deer to donate to a food bank. Didn't say what size deer it had to be. There's no restriction. No buck, doe, button buck, doe, fawn. Doesn't make any difference. $50. The question I have is, does the deer processor get a 1099 for accepting that money and have to pay taxes on it? Do the hunters that sell their deer to the deer processor at $50 a pop have to pay taxes on their $50? And if not, why not? I mean, they're taking federal COVID money and redistributing it. And where does federal COVID money come from? The taxpayers, of course. And redistributing it to deer hunters who in some cases are going across county lines, in some cases are poaching, in some cases are organizing hunts to kill as many white-tailed deer to donate, allegedly, to the food bank through the local deer processor. I don't fault the deer processor for accepting money, okay? I do call into question the ethics of somebody to think that this is an okay deal to sell the publicly owned resources of white-tailed deer in Maryland. I think that is just if not immoral, at least unethical. What do you deer hunters out there think? 410-922-6680 is our phone. What happens if they decided to go commercial on selling waterfowl, goose hunters, duck hunters? Back to the market hunting days. Back to the market hunting days when they were sending railroad cars of canvasback ducks all across the country to restaurants across the country. I don't know, buddy.
State's going to lose more money by this program that they're trying to institute than versus keeping it the way it has been.
Let's talk to Mark, and then we'll take our first break. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my telephone call. Regarding the food banks and all that, and I thoroughly enjoyed, you know, all your opening statements and all that. It's very educational. As a veteran, I'm connected to an organization that makes charitable. We're nonprofit, nonpartisan, so we make charitable contributions, which in my position involves me directly with food bank and contributions that we make and
got
the
it.
People that are involved with that. So I would just simply ask myself, who, as you work closely with these individuals, who are our representatives that we can reach out to and talk to, and try to get some answers so that you know, as individuals and voters and all that, we can help. I mean,
well, who represents your county? Who represents
Congressman Harris? Is he?
No, he's federal. You need to get your local delegate and your local senator.
I'm in Reisterstown.
Okay, then that's Baltimore County. It's very simple to go to the Maryland General Assembly page on your computer. Do you have a computer?
Yes.
Okay. Just put in Maryland General Assembly, and you can see who the committee members are.
Oh, okay. So, and then it's just look up these things that you speak about, the bills and resolutions, things like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, easily done.
I'll be linked up with some kind of information that'll.
Well, I'll tell you if you're interested in this deer bill, I'm going to give you a website, huntersofmaryland.com.
Okay, say that one more time.
Huntersofmaryland.com.
Huntersofmaryland.com.
Yep.
Right, I'm going to write that down. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Have a good day.
Good day. Let's talk to Mark in Delaware. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
So when I look at any proposed legislation, the question arises, what problem are they trying to fix?
They are trying to fix every problem that a farmer has is blamed on deer. If it rains too much and washes out his crop, the deer did it. If it gets too hot and dries up his crop, the deer did it. If there's some catastrophic failure of their crops, the bottom drops out of the market and they can't get enough for their corn and soybeans. The deer did it. The white-tailed
deer related to Donald Trump?
What's that?
A deal related to Donald Trump?
It certainly sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Everything that's wrong, his fault.
Exactly.
What are they going to do when there are no more deer?
They don't care. That's the goal. Grow more soybeans, grow more corn. And then when they increase the crop production, of course, you know, supply and demand, if there's more supply than there is demand, then the price is going to go down anyway, and that's the deer's fault because they aren't eating any crops anymore.
Hmm.
I have nothing against farmers. I personally like a lot of farmers. And if, you know, weren't authorized to have permission to hunt on farmers' lands, you know, we would be in trouble as well. Problem is, the ones that want all the deer killed don't let anybody hunt. Or they wipe them all out on crop damage permits and then invite the hunters to go in there and you're looking at, you know, you're looking at nothing in your, out of your stand. We got enough problems for white-tailed deer right now. We've got EHD, epizootic hemorrhagic disease. We've got brain abscess disease on the upper shore. We've got CWD in Western Maryland, which is expanding. So, and a whole host of other things. We've got overfeeding. We've got acidosis in people that feed corn on a year-round basis in deer that is harming the population. We've got 30,000 vehicle strikes a year in Maryland. We've got an increasing and burgeoning coyote population, which is seizing the fawns as they are born. So, you know, we got enough attacks on the deer, which are owned by the citizens of the state of Maryland, whether you hunt or not. You own all the public resources under the I can't say the name of it right now. I'm on a rant. Can't think of the right words. Right, Robin?
I'm used to that.
You've never heard this. You've never heard me say this stuff before, right?
Never. Not once.
That's what I thought. So I don't know, Mark. I don't know where they're going with it. And the thing is,
evolved in a system, and without them,
yeah,
there will be far-reaching consequences.
That is correct. That is correct.
And often unforeseen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know. Goes back to the old commercial about not fooling Mother Nature.
That's what it says. That's what I'm thinking. That's why all the conservation efforts were started over 100 years ago with men who had vision like Teddy Roosevelt and others. You know, unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, well, have a good day.
Yeah. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Mind blowing.
Oh, yeah, mind blowing.
Yes, it is.
So, as was the play. All right. You do the same, buddy. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, honey.
I'm here.
I'm tired.
Really? I don't know why you'd be tired.
I'll tell the folks later.
Okay. Yeah, wait for this one, y'all.
All right. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a farmer or a hunter or a crabber or an angler or a contractor or a weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts. No matter what your gear, tree stands, tackle boxes, and crab pots or tools, your Linex bedliner will not crack, bubble, or peel. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call at 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex can install tough truck gear accessories. You know, like the steps to help you get into your truck or tonneau covers to cover your load. Yep, and they can even protect your vehicle from rust with a product called Value Guard No Rust Protection. Do what I did and have Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex install your Linex spray-on truck bedliner today. You'll be glad you did. Do you have a beautiful fireplace that you never use? Well, we did too. It was just a hole in the wall that sucked the heat out of the room. We fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Now, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert after we visited a couple dealers on the shore and were pretty disappointed. Delmarva, actually. Hearth America did the installation, and they provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. And we both enjoy the convenience, I mean the remote control, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert. We haven't had the heater on.
We used it back here at all this year.
We haven't used our heat. We have a heater air conditioner unit back here. We haven't used it. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both Enviro and Regency brands, and now is the perfect time to own a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop into the showroom, Route 50 at Exit 44, and be ready for the cold weather now. Visit Backyard Billy's or the Hearth America Facebook page. That number is 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. Clyde Sports Shop is having their annual 10-day fishing sale. Coming up soon, Friday, March 5th through Sunday, March 14th. Tackle for perch and trout and everything else on sale. Save on premium monofilament line half price from only 1 cent per yard. Bring your empty spools and have Clyde's install new line. The sale does not include the Power Pro braided line. Shakespeare Ugly Sticks and Fluger rods and reels are on sale. Pence spinning reels on sale featuring the Battle 2 series. Fluger spinning reels on sale featuring the President series. Fishing combos for kids and all trolling tackle. And don't forget to take a look at the St. Croix rods, too. For live and frozen bait, fishing license, rod repairs, lures, hooks, lead weights, tackle for perch, trout, panfish, and bass, it's Clyde Sports Shop, located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. We'll be right back after this.
Snow's coming in overnight tonight and for Sunday with winter weather alerts popping across the Mid-Atlantic, some 5-inch plus totals for us this weekend, and some teens by tomorrow night. 48 degrees our high this afternoon, low tonight 34 with overnight snows. Additional snows on Sunday with some 5-inch plus storm totals. High Sunday, 39 degrees. Low Sunday night, 17. And then sunshine Monday, 32. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. And mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot. Whistling like a fool. What a fine day.
All right, we're going to take a stroll down by the river at a later date. It's a little chilly out there right now. Let's talk to Dan. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm great.
Good.
In my truck headed down to Oxford with my new A5 and 3 boxes of ammo.
What's wrong with that? That's great.
Well, I'm new at this. I've always been a rifleman, but I got invited, so I figured I'd go and try it.
Sounds like fun.
Well, you picked a good day for it. There's some geese and ducks around, I can tell you that. I wish you a lot of luck. Yep.
Yeah, I'll talk about this deer hunting thing.
Okay.
A few years back, I got invited by a farmer to do crop damage hunting.
Okay.
On a farm that he leased. And I tell you, it was really, I had to stop because it was a dirty business. I'd go out and I'd knock down a couple of deer in the middle of a bean field at dusk. And you try finding a deer in a 50 to 60 acre bean field where they're over knee high in the dark. And sometimes I'd get lucky and I'd find them, and sometimes I didn't. And it just killed me to know that there was a dead deer laying out there that was going to be just coyote poop. And talking to this farmer, what he used to do, he used to carry a 22 Magnum on his tractor with him. And when he was out on his tractor, if he'd see a deer, he'd just gut shoot him and let him run into the woods and die.
Common practice.
So,
You don't hear about that practice from one end of this state to the other, from varied resources all across the state. You do not hear that very same statement to you as some kind of rural legend, okay, without somebody knowing somebody that has found, you know, carcasses in the stream bed or seen it happen or, you know, that type of thing. And, you know, here it comes from you, again, the same type of thing. Because they don't want to deal with the carcass. They don't want to process that deer. Okay? It's a rat. It's a vermin. The Maryland Farm Bureau was honest and tell everybody that they have declared in their annual meeting several years ago as antlerless white-tailed deer as vermin in the eyes of the Farm Bureau officially. Okay? People would be outraged, but they're not. They're not. Well, a farmer has a right to protect his crops. I agree 1,000%. I know people that do a beautiful job on their crop damage permits. I know one farm on the Eastern Shore that's thousands of acres. They have 48 agents that go out and regularly harvest deer on crop damage permits. And you know what? They're all processed. They're all taken care of. I know another farm that has probably two dozen agents that go out on organized deer harvest projects for crop damage. And those deer are all utilized. Okay? Even these programs where they have sharpshooters on some federal facilities, they offer contracts to deer processors to process those deer. There's a way to do it. But in general, most farmers couldn't be bothered with crop damage. They want to complain about the deer, but they don't want to process them. They don't want to handle them properly unless there's money in it. And that's what this bill does. House Bill 594. Right now, there's no companion bill in the Senate that I know of. And that's a good thing.
Well, I'm gonna certainly talk to all my legislators, and I know an awful lot of people that don't hunt but just like to see them in their backyard, and I'm going to talk to those folks, too, get form letters that they can sign and send them all in. We got to organize and stop this.
Huntersofmaryland.com.
Yes, sir. Well, right, I'm about to lose you. I'm on the Bay Bridge, and as soon as I go under all that iron.
Yep, I get it.
So,
well, come out and listen on the other side. You're getting closer to home here. So.
Okay. Well,
thanks, Dan.
So long. So long.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Chris, what do you want to hear first? The most recent thing that happened last night, or do you want to hear about my deer hunting adventure on Wednesday?
Let's go with the deer hunting adventure on Wednesday, and then you could tell us what happened last night next hour.
Okay. You good with that, Robin?
Yep.
You're kind of quiet over there.
I'm here.
You're studying the weather, aren't you?
No, I'm here. Just go with I'm here.
Okay.
I'm tired, okay, which will lead into what about last night. So do the deer. And
okay. So the primitive season came in Monday through Wednesday. What the primitive season was for deer was flintlock rifles, percussion cap rifles, long bows, compound bows. No compound, but long bows and recurve bows. Pardon my slip there. So it's primitive weapons. You know, no compound bows, no crossbows, no scopes on your muzzle loaders, no inline muzzle loaders, flintlock percussion cap. Going back 20, 30 years, okay? So I had one of these guns. I have several of them. But my favorite one that I've taken deer with, loaded up last Saturday or Sunday one day, got it loaded up, got it cleaned up, got it ready to go, fired a couple caps, you know, before I loaded it. I'm ready to go. Everything felt perfect. Sunday came, snowed. Barometer wet in the basement on Monday. Tuesday, I guess a little bit of not going out there on Monday. You know, high winds, 25-mile-an-hour winds.
You said you weren't feeling
it. I wasn't feeling it. I didn't feel like going hunting for some reason. I mean, it's the end of the season. I've had a great deer season. So I thought, well, let me look at Wednesday here. The winds are still high. The barometer's not great. You know, the tides are running against me. But I'm just going to go out and sit and stand for the last day just to say I did. So I'm walking in, and I see a deer right outside the bedding area, and it looked like it was a shed head buck, and I thought, oh, well, you know, there's not many bucks here. So, and I'm only shooting an antlered buck. I'm not shooting a dead head. I'm not shooting an antlerless deer because it could be a dead head. I'm not shooting a doe because, you know, the does were bred in November primarily, so, you know, I'm not a doe shooter much anymore. I used to be when I was using managed hunts or hunting, you know, for food that I was going to donate. So, you know, I'm sitting in a stand. I said to myself, I'm going to do this at 4:30. And I have this little app on my phone. It's a barometer app. And I saw the barometer ticked up a point or two. And I went, you know what? Barometer's moving. Let's see if anything's on their feet. Sunset was 5:30. You could hunt till 6. Great. So I'm in the stand. And I said, I'm going to get down at 4:30 if I don't see anything. And I didn't see anything. So I'll give it another half hour. Didn't see anything. So I'm getting ready to get down. I look up, and here on a tree line is a deer. I'm like, ooh, okay. Binoculars up. It's a six-point. Wild-looking six-point. Not a mature deer by any means. Big long, but a lot of potential. Big long tines, big wise, big giant wise on the top. I mean, this thing was amazing looking. And it could have been a six, it might have been a four, but there were no, couldn't tell what the brow tines were. Anyway, I thought, okay, well, that one's going to get a pass. So it was interesting to watch, and it went out in the field on the neighbor's property. Looked up. Here in a minute or so, here comes another deer. Oh, my goodness. Big, heavy yellow rack on this deer. The deer wasn't big, but he was big enough. And I was going to determine whether or not if I saw the spread and so forth, if I would shoot this deer. But, again, out in the field on the neighbor's property, I thought, well, okay. At least I got to see him. At least I know there's some deer still around. And for some amazing reason, they're still carrying their antlers. So I've got this finger of woods that I'm looking through, and it's very, very big trees in there. I couldn't really see these deer that well, but I could pick out, you know, little places between the trees, and I saw a horizontal block, and I thought, well, that could be a deer. Put the binoculars up, of course, and it was. And it was a deer feeding in the field, one of the bucks, and it turned around like it was coming back my way, and I thought, you know, that deer could come. They could come through this finger to me, because the bedding area is over my left shoulder. Okay. So as time, that was 10 after 5. As time goes by, I see more does, and they come out in the same spot, and they stand on the edge of this field, and they're just looking at the bucks. And I see the bucks coming back to the does. Now there's a total of 6 deer altogether. And I got to watch the 10-point and the 6-point spar a little bit. There was another one that must have been a buck. I don't know if he was a shedhead or a button buck or whatever he was. He didn't have any antlers. But the buck, big buck, was sparring with him out in the field, which was cool to watch. And then the does turned, and they came down through my finger of woods. And I watched one doe, two does, three does. The wind was perfect. The wind was northwest, and they were upwind. Three does. Now they're coming by at 35 yards. Okay. Here comes the 6-point. Here comes the 10-point. And he stopped. But now, 40-some minutes have gone by. I've got a few minutes of daylight. I've got an open sight. My eyes aren't that good anyway. And it's a black bead against a white V, and I could not pick up the sight. In the snow, I could pick it up. When I moved on to the deer, it was tough. So here's a lesson learned. Rather than let that deer give a pass because I couldn't see the sight, I estimated. I felt good about the shot. The hammer was back. And if I didn't feel good, I wouldn't have taken it. I pulled the trigger. Pop. The cap went off. The gun did not. The deer popped his head up and looked around and stood there. Well, I don't have any loose caps. I've got a tin full of caps in my pocket, and I'm freezing to death. I am shaking so badly. I'm just shaking, and I can't get the lid off the tin of caps. And I finally get a cap out, and I can't get it turned right because I'm shaking so bad to put on the nipple. And I finally get it turned around and put it on the nipple. And the deer has walked about 10 yards. It's in the clear. Pull the hammer back again, and pop, the cap goes off, and the gun does not. I haven't figured it out yet. I said, that's it. No third chance. Be on your merry way, my friend. We'll see you next year. But it was good to see, and it was a blessing in disguise, okay, because maybe I would have put a bad hit on the deer. Maybe I wouldn't have. The shots felt good. But now I know that there's some potential deer on the farm. and that's my experience from Wednesday. It was a great hunt. It was a fantastic hunt, even though there was no meat in the freezer off of that one. It was a good hunt, and it was a good deer, one of the best I've seen up there. So that's it. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Ooh, what time are we getting to be? Do we have any callers on the line?
No, sir. It's time for that second break.
Okay. All right. By the way, our friend Joe has a friend who rubs Elmer's glue on his hands before he goes hunting.
And what does that do?
Pick it off when he's bored?
Nope. He rubs Elmer's glue on his hands like lotion before he goes hunting. It sounds strange. He's tried to talk him out of doing it on every occasion. He won't change. He's sticking to his guns on this one.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
And I just got, I just got jelly on my microphone.
Why do I keep listening?
Huh? Grape jelly from Uncrustable.
No, Joe has the best jokes.
He does. Okay, so you put it off. Look at that. That's jelly. I don't wash that off. See that?
I see what you did. Okay? Yep. Everybody else understands what you did now.
Okay. And you hear these scratching marks. That's me putting the mic bonnet back on. So you put it off long enough, and fall's the time to pull the trigger and dress up that backyard for fun times with your family. I'm reading this from fall. Spring is the best time to do that. Backyard Billy's inventory is full, and you can go and take a look at all the beautiful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs, especially Adirondack chairs. You can see all those from Route 50 and Exit 44 on Kent Island. You'll find swing sets and tiki bars and storage sheds in the backyard at Backyard Billy's. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to Maryland and Delaware beaches. You know what Bill needs to do? He needs to get some drone footage and put it on his website or something.
His place is really...
It is a unique place.
It's impressive.
Very impressive. Inside Backyard Billy's huge showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills by Traeger, Big Green Egg, and Kamado Joe. And you can browse the great-looking garden decorations for any lifestyle theme and budget. Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Visit BackyardBilly's.com. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billy's open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44, your backyard is going to look just great. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a farmer, a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, or a weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands and tackle boxes, crab pots, or tools, your Linex bedliner will not crack, will not bubble, and will not peel. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Give Jack Carver a call at 410-455-0800. Convenient from Catonsville, convenient from Randallstown, convenient from, you know, Reisterstown. It's easy to get to. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-487-6405. Bay Linex, Glen Burnie, and Catonsville Linex will install, can install, and do install tough truck gear accessories and even protect your vehicle with a product called Value Guard No Rust. They spray it in all the cracks and crevices where rust and moisture can sneak in and protect your vehicle from rust. So do what I did and have Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex at Glen Burnie install your Linex spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such.
mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
Good morning, Bob.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
What is up? Well, been killing some rabbits with the hawk.
Great.
Oh, cool.
Great.
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw that on Facebook. You got Rosie, you got the dog flushing them out, and Rosie's snagging them as they go out.
Yep. Happened again yesterday evening. It happened again the same way. So that's two rabbits in 2 days. So I was really tickled.
That's great.
And then earlier in the week, I got a quail with it.
I saw
that. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
now, did this quail flush, or did she catch that quail on the ground?
I think it was caught on the ground. You know, there was like a half a dozen of them jumped up, and it got up kind of slow. And then I just kept walking because the dog went on, you know. And the next thing you know, Rosie jumped back into about the area where the other ones got out of, and she had a quail on the ground. So I guess she caught it on the ground. I don't know.
Wow. That's cool. Now you're able to recover these rabbits and quail and you know, be able to use them yourself. Or, I mean, maybe you give them to her, but I don't know. I know she gets
most
a steady
death. Most of the time, I always get them for myself. I carry, you know, an extra little bit of meat with me, and then I see the hawk getting real good at it. I take a towel, an old towel, and I lay it over top the rabbit while it's in her claws. And then if she didn't see that rabbit, and then I bring my food out on my glove, she'll let go of the rabbit and go for the food on my glove. And then I sneak the rabbit back into my hunting bag, you know.
You're sneaky, Bob. You're sneaky. You're sneaky.
I'm sneaky. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah. And then the hawk looks around a little bit, you know, it's amazing. She looks around a little bit. Well, where'd the rabbit go, you know? But it's like, as long as she's got the meat, she's happy.
As long as she doesn't develop a real good sense of smell, you'll be all right.
Yeah. She can see really good, I'll tell you that. I cannot believe it. You know, she'd be in that tree right here. I've been hunting out in my yard a lot because it's been so windy. And so I sit and just hunt right here. And Belle and I go way out in the field, 150, 200 yards out there, and Belle will be on point, and that rabbit, I won't even see the rabbit, you know?
Yeah.
She'll dive out of that tree and fly past me and grab that rabbit. It's just amazing.
That is amazing. I can't wait to see that. We'll be up on the 17th.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm wondering, you have to ask Charles, I wonder how he'd feel about it if I just turned my hawk loose, too. You think he'd worry about the hawk and the dog?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so. I think we're all looking forward to seeing that, actually. So.
Yeah, well, that'd be cool, because the hawk seems to make out fine. You know, it's never done anything except chase rabbits. It's never tried to get a dog or anything.
No, I can't imagine.
Dog's big enough.
Oh, yeah. No question.
All right. Well,
all right, buddy.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We'll see you then.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm waiting for my bacon to get going here.
Oh, man. I can almost smell it from here.
Man, it's just starting to smell a little bit.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see you, Bob.
See ya.
All right. Take care.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Chris, that was fun.
Yes, the hour went by real fast.
That one did,
It really did. I'm really appreciating it.
Yep. So we're going to take a nap, and we'll be back after the break.
See y'all then.
What do you say, Robin?
Everybody, get out, stay safe, enjoy life. Be nice to people.